Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, June 20th, and it is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Worth. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Andy. I am well, and I hope you are too.
I am. Thank you. You know, I don't know if you knew what was coming up, but how timely that we just hear from Ken Ham about this topic, but our conversation out of this world today, right?
It's serendipitous. I did not know what the Answers in Genesis spot was going to be about, but had found this article from checking out Science Friday. You know, NPR, mm-hmm. National Public Radio, has a number of programs that sometimes I listen to, and one of them is Science Friday with Ira Flatow. And, you know, some of what they say is stuff that anybody who's interested in science and technology would be interested in, but some things are of particular interest when they have to do with the idea of creation versus evolution. And so some time ago there was an interview with Dr. Jill Tarter, who is actually, she's an astronomer, and she works with the SETI Institute. And I thought, well, that would be something that we might be interested in talking about here, because when people talk about science fiction, astronomy, could there be life out there?
Well, what is the SETI Institute?
Okay, very good. The Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, that's SETI for short, mm-hmm. has been going on for some time. And at one time, it was actually funded by NASA, and then they defunded that some time ago, and it got taken up by the private sector, by people who believe there surely must be intelligent life somewhere else in the universe. They have the idea we can't be the only place. Now, just heard Ken Ham talking about people wanting to believe that there's life somewhere else, and including intelligent life. Now, you know, that really is based upon an evolutionary worldview, you know, the idea that there would be extraterrestrial life, life on other planets, life in other galaxies, and particularly that there would be living beings at least as intelligent as we are, as human beings here on Earth, stems largely from the idea that if you believe that life arose on Earth spontaneously, you know, without any divine guidance, you know, there was non-living matter, and out of that life arose, and then it gradually evolved into more and more complex forms of life until you have intelligent life, including human beings. I said, well, surely that must happen all over the place. You know, if there are millions and billions of stars and billions of planets, and you have millions and billions of years, I'm starting to sound like Carl Sagan, then surely, you have to believe, if you believe evolution is how life got to be here, then you're going to, by logical extension, believe it could happen many times, in many places, on many planets, and hence the search. Now, you know, NASA continues the search for life with our space probes, including the ones to Mars and elsewhere, and they're looking for signs of life. They're no longer looking for intelligent life anywhere close in the universe because the planets around us don't seem to be hospitable to life as we know it. And if there is life there, they would imagine it would be simple life, like bacterial life or something like that. But when they're looking for life further out there at distant galaxies and the planets in those distant galaxies, the idea is that there would likely be intelligence. But how do you find it if you don't have a space probe that can go, you know, 500 light years away and send back a message to us? How do you find extraterrestrial life? Well, what they're looking for is a coded signal that would come that would clearly be the process of an intelligent engineering. That's essentially what's going on, is that you're looking for either optical flashes of light, pulses that are so short in time that they're not likely to have been made by an astrophysical source. And another way is to use radio telescopes, huge radio telescopes on Earth, that are looking for what would appear to be deliberately broadcast signals or the leakage of otherwise deliberately broadcast signals. So, in other words, what they're looking for is signs of intelligent life that has technology that could send some kind of electromagnetic signal, light or radio or some other electromagnetic signal that would come, and it would be something that would be recognizable by another intelligent civilization that had also developed such technology. And so that's basically what they're looking for. And they've been at it for decades, you know, really almost 100 years, going back to the turn of the previous century. There were people who believed, even as wireless technology was being developed, that there must be intelligent beings out there. And at first they thought maybe Mars. And there were people who were seriously, you know, at the beginning of the 1900s, were thinking that there might be intelligent life on Mars, and so they set to looking there. And now, of course, there are no mainstream scientists who would believe there's intelligent life on Mars. We, as intelligent beings, send probes there looking for signs of at least microbial life, but so far have come up totally empty-handed. And I guess that's what I would want to say. This Dr. Jill Tarter and others have been at this and sincerely believe that it must be out there. Intelligent life must be out there, but they're frustrated because they haven't been able to find it. Why would they care? You know, that's something you might ask. Why would anybody even care if there's life anywhere else? And, you know, her answer when she was asked this by NPR is, "I'm definitely interested in understanding this. Are we alone?" question. So that's my dream, that humanity will be able to come to a better understanding of where we came from and how we fit into the cosmos potentially with other intelligent species. Isn't that interesting? You know, it's not just, you know, it's part of it is, are we alone? Are there other intelligent beings out there somewhere? But also that the belief that if you could prove that there is intelligent life of another kind trying to communicate with us from the distance with radio waves or some other electromagnetic communication, some kind of coded signal, that, we're not alone. And what does that mean? It might tell us where we came from. In fact, maybe these beings would be more intelligent than we. Maybe they've already found the answers we're looking for, how to cure all diseases, how to overcome death itself, how to live forever. Sounds kind of religious, doesn't it? So isn't it astonishing, you know, that people would reject God's message in his word, the Bible, of where we came from, how we were created, telling us that we're not alone. There is other intelligent life out there, and this God, mm-hmm. you know, who our creator, and certainly then also the holy angels that he also created are intelligent beings, and that God has already communicated with us quite clearly in the prophetic and apostolic scriptures, and especially in the coming of Jesus Christ, who is the creator God, come in human flesh, come into his fallen creation to rescue human beings from sin and death and hell, who holds all knowledge, who has the power to conquer sin and death and hell for us, who by his suffering and death and resurrection, you know, has accomplished our salvation and offers salvation as a free gift, which is promised in Holy Scripture to all those who repent and believe in Jesus, the Son of God, our crucified and risen Savior. And yet people reject that and instead are grasping at straws here, believing against all evidence. And that needs to be emphasized. You know, this is done in the name of science, but it absolutely is against all real, observable, testable, repeatable science. There is zero evidence that life ever did or ever could arise from non-living matter. There is zero evidence that life can spontaneously upgrade from the simplest forms of life to the more complex forms of life. The more we learn about life, we see there is a coded signal, and it's called DNA, in every living creature. And in all the living creatures that we've encountered on Earth, you know, we can see there is this genetic information that is amazingly complex, clearly the work of an intelligent being, a creator God. But instead of wanting to believe that, they're going to believe, in spite of the evidence, that this could happen by accident, that it is all a matter of chance. happening over millions and billions of years. And if it happened here by chance, then it had to have happened elsewhere by chance, and that's why we're going to spend millions and millions of dollars looking, and have spent years and years looking and still have come up empty-handed. Now, how do they respond to that fact? In fact, there's Fermi. You remember there was a Dr. Fermi who lived many years ago and who was known in scientific circles for his work with things like nuclear physics and so forth. And his he came up with what's called Fermi's paradox, which is to say, you know, if there's really, you know, millions and billions of stars, millions and billions of planets, and we've had millions and billions of years, surely there should be intelligent life out there trying to communicate with us, but where are they? You know, the silence is deafening, and that has implications. In fact, the implication would be that maybe their assumptions are wrong. But that is anathema to the true believers in evolutionary religion. And so people like this Jill Tarter devote their lives just continuing the search. And when interviewed and asked, well, what about Fermi's paradox? Why are, if there are so many intelligent civilizations out there, why haven't we heard from them?
And, right. And, why haven't they sought us out, right?
Okay. Well, and the answer that she has is, well, she said, if you went down to the ocean and you took an 8-ounce drinking glass and dipped up some water and didn't come up with a fish right away, you would conclude there are no fish in the sea. And so her answer is that, you know, we haven't been looking that long, and we can't, we've only begun to dip into the vastness of the universe, so don't be so sure of yourself. The fact that you haven't found life doesn't prove that there isn't life out there. So then they continue on the quest, convinced that it must be there, the truth is out there somewhere. I haven't heard that before from the X-Files, and people want to believe this. And you know, she is a disciple of Carl Sagan, who was one of these high celebrity atheist, or I guess he wasn't an atheist, he was an agnostic. He was an agnostic astronomer who popularized science teaching, you know, what, 30 years ago, and particularly with a belief in evolution and, you know, downplaying or dissing the idea that there is a God, a creator. Why would you believe that when you can believe in evolution and billions of years and all of this good stuff? And she very much, you know, is a disciple of his. In fact, you know, the book Contact and the movie with Jodie Foster, you know, basically she's this astronomer, Jill Tarter, is sort of the poster girl who was depicted in that story, where, you know, in that story, which is very popular, the best-selling book and a popular movie, it appeals to the human imagination that we should be able to make contact with these intelligent beings out there and you know, explore the universe and find out all these things. And so it's appealing to the human imagination. But again, the fool has said in his heart there is no God, as Scripture says. And how terrible it is that people suppress the truth and unrighteousness and reject the Creator and His Word, the Bible, where He tells us where we came from, and He tells us the solution to our problem of sin and death and suffering, and where this Creator God loved us and redeemed us by the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation is a free gift. The answers to our problem are right there. Mm-hmm. And instead of believing that, people reject that as fable, as myth. And instead, against all scientific evidence, against reason even, go on this believing in evolution and that there must be life out there and that whatever life out there that we can eventually find will be benign and also desire our welfare and perhaps have all wisdom and help us solve all our problems. It's just, it's astonishing. It's a religion of its own. It's really an evolutionary religion.
It takes us back to the 80s and the E.T. movie.
E.T. phone home.
That's right. Well, Pastor Wirth, thanks so much for pointing us back to the truth, to God's word. You mentioned imagination. It's a good gift from God, yet corrupted by sin, and when corrupted by sin takes us to dangerous places, doesn't it?
That's true. Whenever it would lead us to reject God, to reject our Savior, to reject the gift of eternal life, that is deadly.
Well, thanks, Pastor Wirth. Always good to be pointed back to the truth. Thanks for pointing us back to the gospel of Jesus.
My pleasure. God bless you.
God's blessings to you as well. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got morning prayer. Stick around for that right here on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO, the messenger of good news.